to come together and gain strength and peace and joy and just having God with us. You know, not that he's not with us at home, but to gather together as we see the day approaching. Come together. The Bible says so. Call them in. Call them in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we do want to welcome everyone here, and we pray that the Spirit of God would be upon your heart and upon your life, and that he will be with you. We do want to thank you for your tithing offerings. You can see in the bulletin the amount that it was last week. We thank you for your giving. Remember, give God what is rightfully his. Always. Give it to him. And the power and the presence of God and his blessings will be upon your home. Okay? Just give him what is rightfully his. So we do want to thank you for that. Don't forget our men's meeting, which will be Friday, September 18th, here at the building. So you cooking gumbo? Is that right? You? Oh, I don't know. Who's cooking? Well, I thought it was Mr. Oh, we do it. We are pointing. No, please. I just thought that's what I heard, but that's somebody's cooking something. We having something. Leg is like, okay, I don't know. Am I cooking? Amen. We'll get together sometime. Amen. Though, but men's meeting that day. Also, this Wednesday, September the 2nd, okay, this Wednesday, Andrew's going to be preaching. And so we'll have like a service here with some songs, and he's going to preach and stuff. So I want to invite you to come. Invite people that don't come here. You know, maybe they don't have church on Wednesdays or whatever, and they'd like to come. We'd love to have them to listen to the word and to be listen to that word and get it in our hearts and get it in our lives. So, amen. So, pray for Andrew that the Spirit of God would be upon him to deliver that word. Amen. Well, all right, workers and kids, Father, we just pray for them, Lord, the workers, that the power of your Spirit would be upon them, Lord. Work within their hearts. Work within their lives, Lord God. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? You know, I know we have numerous people not here because of all kinds of different things, just trying to clean up and do a bunch of stuff and whatever. So, if you would, let's pray for the town of Gaydon that everything would get back to normal. And get back to normality, okay? And people would, everybody, you know, would get their electricity back on. Father, we come before you this day. And Lord God, you see, Father, what's going on, Lord, at this time. Father, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace upon our lives. But Father, we pray that you will have mercy again upon this town. That everyone would get electricity back up and running quickly in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I know last week I shared with you Psalms 91 or some of it about how to pray. Psalms 91 verse 9 through 11. Psalms 91 verse 9 to 11. You know, let me tell you this, people. We have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be grateful for. Let me tell you what God has done, how he spared us. Number one, how he looked over each one of our homes. No one that I know of in our church had damage to their home. That's a great God. Yeah, we had a few limbs down and, you know, whatever. Those things can be taken care of. But, you know, as far as severe damage of roofs being taken off, and, you know, even though I know Lake Charles has been hit probably the hardest, Cameron Lake Charles, you know, with severe, severe things just flattened down. And even around here, I've seen some metallic roofs taken off, and I've seen shingles down, you know, taken off, and the black paper off down to the wood. I mean, just severe. I just thank the Lord that he took care of his children. You know, Psalms 91, as we said last week, look at verse, starting with verse 9, it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. All scripture, well, we'll get to that. That's okay. That's okay. That's good. Thank you. You know, but here we see God says, as we put him first, that he will give his angels charge over us. Now, we know this. Angels work at the bidding of our Father. Angels work at the bidding of us as we go to the Father and we make requests, and the Father commissions them to go and do. You never bow down to an angel. You never worship an angel. You don't do those things. They are less than us. Somebody's phone or something. That's okay. That's okay. There's a bill coming in the mail. Don't worry about it. She laughs. Because I know at this time, it's better. And if you need to leave your phone on, I know we usually ask, please, but if you need to, please leave it on, because, you know, with things going on, maybe you need to hear something, and that's okay with me, okay? That's okay. You just get a bill in the mail. Don't worry about it. No, no, we don't do that stuff. But we do, but you know, God is faithful to take care of all the things that we need, and how, and he can take things that maybe the devil has tried to destroy us and turn it into something good. Now, you know, I know probably every one of us has stories to tell about how God, you know, protected them and did great things. And let me tell you, you need to express that to your family and friends, how God the Father, has protected you and what he did for you. Let people know. You know, I've talked to so many people. You know, I'd forgotten about this. It passed Thursday, is that right? Thursday, okay. Wednesday night. So Wednesday through today, I know we had to work a little bit, and they called us in, and, you know, I'm driving and doing mail, and I come to one customer, you know, they were outside, so I give, you know, always be courteous and give it to them. I don't just pass them up and put it in the box, you know. Give it to them and just, and I said, y'all okay? You know, everything's, yeah, we okay. I said, well, good. And one of them said, you know, God will take care of us. And I turned and I said, you're right. God will take care of us. And all of a sudden, she just kind of starts preaching. I mean, she's just saying, Lord, it says whatever two or three are gathered in your name. Man, she came alive, and then her daughter, which was about 15 or 20, started putting up her hands. I said, well, me too then, in the truck. We'll put up our hands and praise the Lord, you know. And I said, thank y'all. And look, in that less than 5 seconds, the Spirit of God was right there. That's the power of Almighty God. And I knew from there the peace of God. I said, Lord, you're going to take care of this for us. You're going to take care of it for our church. Because you see, it goes through my mind, the things of the church, the things of our people, you know, God protecting and helping. Because you know, you don't know. We don't know the future. But God knows the future. And we can trust in him, trust in his word, trust what he tells us will happen in his word. That's how mighty is our God. You know? And hey, look, that doesn't mean the devil won't try to steal from you.
That doesn't mean the devil won't try to take from you. Because his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. I know at our house, there was a tornado or something that passed. We heard it. Look, talk about jump up. I mean, here you are sitting on your recliner praying, watching the news, you know, and all you hear this train type thing coming. And I said, oh my God. I said, Lord. You know, we jump up and just start praising the Lord and thanking him for his protection. And all of a sudden it just passed. You didn't hear it anymore. It's dark. You don't know what happened. Well, we get up the next day and find out our neighbor's house. Well, their trees were cut off. I mean, you ever seen that before? A whole tree and just the top's cut off? Then the neighbor next to them messed up their roof and messed up their carport. I mean, it's all over, God bless you, all over the farmland. How God protects. Don't you think the devil was saying, that's the house I want to get? And not because we're anything, but you're talking about your house too. Because you're servants of the living God. That's the one I want. And trying to bring this evil. And God's angel said, no, 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 no. You can't. That's God, people. Encamped around about your homes. Encamped around about your property. Encamped around about saying, no, you can't. No, you can't. No. And you know what? The enemy has to obey God. Oh, you should have shouted. The enemy always has to obey God and his word. That's why when you get up there and you say, okay, Father, I come before you, and you quote this scripture, the enemy has to obey the word of God because Jesus is the word of God. Amen. That we can claim that. I mean, Cheryl lives in a camper. She told me not a plate was misplaced or fell. A camper south of Gaydon. We kept praying for her because I said, probably of all vulnerability you're looking at. Because you, between Kaplan and Gaydon, y'all saw that camper that flipped over? Big fifth wheel type thing? Look to the left when you're going back, closer to Kaplan. Big fifth wheel. It's kind of off, so you have to kind of look. Just flipped over. But you see how God is faithful to protect even a camper? My God. That's the kind of God we serve, people. We don't serve no eely, neely, little, nothing God. We serve a God that is great and powerful and is all-consuming. The God that can do all things. We can stand and rely upon the word of God no matter what. That what God says, he will do. And what he says he will do, he will perform that word in our hearts and in our lives, in our community, in our homes. Yes. That's the power of Almighty God. Yes. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Oh, praise God Almighty for what he can do. But you see, we don't just look at what he can do. We look at what he's done and will do in the future. In our hearts and in our lives. My God, what a God we serve. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 3. When Jelaine called me about 5:30 or so, I was driving back from work to tell me that the lights and everything were on. I'll be honest with you. I could have pulled over and just cried. Yes, I'll be honest with you. And I'm honest with you every week. But just to express that to you. Yes. Jelaine says she could have danced. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, people. That's why we've come today. It doesn't matter what happens today. It's like, Lord, you're in control. He's in control. Not we ourselves, not the people, but our God is in control. And let me tell you this. It's so good to know that God has the church in the palm of his hand. My God. You might think, well, that church in Gaydon, yes, that God has this church, the body of believers, in the palm of his hand, and he's working and moving. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. That we're not just left behind on the sidelines. We're in the middle of that playing field, and God is moving and moving in the hearts and lives of the people and changing things and protecting the God's people. Praise God Almighty. If we can trust God with things that we have, surely we can trust God with our hearts and souls and with the families that we love so dear. How we can trust God with our lives. Trust him no matter what. No matter what goes on in your heart, no matter what goes on in your family, trust God with your life. And let me tell you, he will do things that you've never thought possible. Amen. Praise be unto God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Amen. Praise God. We can trust him. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Trust him with everything. And let me tell you, that God, the God that we trust, will move mountains on your behalf. He will take care of those things that need to be taken care of and move those things that need to be moved. I know there are things that are weighing upon your heart and upon your mind, just like me. Things about the church that sometimes keep me up. Get up and pray. Because you know it's only God that can solve it. Get up and pray. I know there are things that are weighing upon your heart, just like mine. Saying, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation, Father. But Lord, help me. You see, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And sometimes God will say, don't do anything. Sometimes that's the hardest thing. Huh? When God says, just sit, wait, and pray. You're saying, okay, Lord, you don't want me to do something? You know, like, I can go do something, you know? But a lot of times God will say, just wait a little while. And that's what we do. If that's what he wants. And pray and seek the face of God. Because you see, sometimes finances may be weighing. Or sometimes just personal things of the body. You know, as far as illnesses and sicknesses and just things weigh, you know, about family and friends and children and grandchildren and upon your own selves. But God says this. God says, cast all your cares upon him. That means God is saying, anybody has gone cast netting? You know, cast net? Okay. I've never really done it, but I've seen it, you know. And, you know, it takes, I mean, this big net, and it has weights at the bottom. Is that correct? From what I can understand and seen. And you have to take it out and throw it. And I think from what I understood, you try to fan it out big as it is, huh? You know, and so that it hits that water and it just goes down with the weights and it catches everything on the inside of it. And then you could pull it up and you have whatever's in it. Might be wood, might be cans, might be but what you're looking for is shrimp, fish, or whatever, that stuff. God says to cast our cares upon him. That doesn't mean he just doesn't say, okay, you know, it doesn't mean just like this, but he's saying throw it at him. We think of our God. That just means he says, give it to me. And I will take care of those things that are holding you down and burdening you. You see? That's what God is wanting to do in our hearts and lives. So that we are relieved of that. You know, if I have a barrel that's full of bricks and I'm trying to pick it up and move it, it's going to be heavy. But if I go to each few people and I give them some out of that barrel and whatever, it's going to get lighter and lighter as I give it to people. Well, just think of your barrel of your life and all the bricks of all your problems and all the things that are weighing you down, and you give it to the first person, which is God the Father. And he takes them all out. And then you take your barrel and you just roll away. How much easier and lighter is it? You might say, well, you know, it's hard to keep giving it to him. But God says, cast all your cares upon him. Because he what? Careth for us. It's not a burden to him. You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't want to give my burden. It's too much for you. I don't want to. God says, give it. Give it. Give it. Give it. Give it. Give it. And don't hold back. You might say, well, I gave it to him yesterday. Give it to him again. Give it to him again till you have victory or you see the results that God wants you to have upon your life. It says knock and keep on knocking on that door. Never give up on the prayers that God has put upon your heart to pray about. Don't give up on those things. Don't give up on those lost children. Don't give up. Let me tell you, if you give up, what is the devil going to do to them? He's going to tear them up severely. So what you do is you keep calling their names. Every time you call their name, you're knocking on his door and saying, oh God, you see these kids. You see these grandkids. You see my spouse or you see whatever. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Let the word of God be used upon in your heart and upon your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture has been given and inspired by God. Now look at this. The Bible is not a book to be taken lightly, okay? It is the express word of God spoken by men but inspired by God. It is the word which put the heavens in place. It was and is this word that Abraham placed his faith. It was this word which promised that a Savior of the world would come. Jesus Christ himself declared to be the word of God. You know, the word of God was written over 1500 year, or took a 1500 year span from 1400 BC to AD 100 to write that word. 66 books all coincide with one another. None of them contradict one another. They try to make it sometimes, but it doesn't. All inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God the Father. Over 40 generations wrote that word. Can you imagine? We can't get two generations to coincide with one another, man. Much less, but God can take 40 generations and have it written. Over 40 authors from many walks of life wrote that word that's on your lap this day. It's a miracle, people. Kings, peasants, poets, fishermen, scholars, all participated in this work. It's an amazing thing. God just didn't take scholars to write that word. God didn't just take peasants to write that word. God just didn't take kings to write that word. But he took a spectrum of all, because he includes all in the word of God. It's for all people, all times. It was written in many different places: wilderness, dungeons, palaces. Written on three continents: Asia, Africa, Europe. Written in two languages: Greek, Hebrew, and parts of it Aramaic, which would make basically three, but it's a little. This book is not a mere book. It is not the product of thoughts and imaginations of any man's heart. It is verily or truly the word of God. We can count on this word, people. You and I can count on this word. Sometimes when I'm studying, I have all my books and I'm just looking at things and looking at it, I'll just take the word, because there's many different books, and I'll just take it and I'll just hold it. And I'll say, Lord, thank you. that I can trust this word. You don't realize that we can trust this word. That we can take Psalms 91 and declare it for our homes and see the results of what God can do. You know, I say, well, Pastor, I know they had some Christians over there in Lake Charles, and look what happened. I know. Our brothers and sisters need our help somehow, some way. Pray for them. Ask God to move. Ask God to help them. Ask God to move upon their lives. But we can trust in this word. I want you to turn to, make sure I have the right scripture. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 17, please. Exodus chapter 17. Looking at Moses. Look at verse 8, please. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. It's page 139. And it's in verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. And I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, and one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, or that means they overcame him. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears, that means let them know what happened, in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord is my banner. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Here we see how great is our God, people. Always remember, there's nothing too hard that God cannot solve. Always remember that. Here we see Moses and Joshua. Amalek had come against the children of Israel. And let me tell you, the devil will come against you. He's coming. Let me tell you, the devil cannot stand you. He hates you. He can't stand anything about you. He hates that God has given you victory over all the things in your life that God needed to take out and he put in. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay. But our God, it says, comes to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Amen. We know that scripture. But here we see the armies with Joshua, their leader, goes to find the Amalek or Amalekites. They start to battle, and Moses goes up to on a hill and looks and sees. And that's how a lot of battles were fought. They'd go into a valley, and usually they had a hill on one side or a mountain and a big hill or a mountain on the other side. Usually that's how, a lot of times. And Moses went up to that, but God told him this. He said, bring the rod. Remember the rod? Remember the rod that ate up the snakes of Pharaoh and all that? The rod that opened the Red Sea? The rod? Okay? The rod of God? He said, bring it. And bring two men, Aaron and Ur, with you. And they got up to the mountain. And they started to see what was going on. And the armies of God were doing okay as Moses would stand there with the rod in his hand, his arms lifted up. He'd see the victory that was happening. He'd see men that were slain, you know, by the armies of Israel that Joshua led. Moses would stand there with that rod in his hand. You see, the rod that opened the Red Sea, that doesn't mean the rod opened it, but God was using it, just like the word, just using it so that Moses would remember it's God, it's the Father that is moving upon that situation. And then, you know, hey, as human beings, you do get tired. Huh? And he let it down and look, and he'd see the Amalekites start to win. That's a lesson for us. Whenever you praise the Lord, your eyes are upon the Lord. Whenever the hands come down or the heart's not praising him, our eyes are not upon the Lord anymore. And things start to happen and we start to lose the battle. God wants us to have victory in every battle that we go through. The way we do that is that we lift up the rod of his word and we look to him and we continue to fasten our eyes upon God and what he's done. And as Moses, they said, Aaron and Ur noticed what was happening. They said, look, let's take the rock. And they put this rock, which is what? Jesus Christ. He is the rock. And Moses sat upon him. You see, we need to have the Father, Jesus, the Father, as the rock of our salvation. We stand upon the rock. We don't stand upon ourselves. We don't stand upon man either. But we stand upon the rock of who God is. And all of a sudden they said, Aaron and Ur said, look, let us help you, Moses, because we see what's going on like you told us. And they took his hand, the hands that he was holding up, that rod, they took and they put their hands upon him and they held up victory till it came. You see, we got to keep our eyes upon the Lord no matter what. No matter what's going on the left or the right, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on with hurricanes and all this stuff going, we keep our eyes upon the Lord. That doesn't mean maybe you don't get discouraged, but you keep looking to him no matter what. You look to him no matter what, saying, Father, move upon this situation. Father, help me to get through this situation. Look, it takes many people to have victory. It took Moses, it took Aaron, it took Ur, it took the Father, and it also took Joshua and all the men to overcome the Amalekites. Sometimes we can't have victory on our own. Now, sometimes, you know, God, it depends on what it is. But sometimes you may need a little help from somebody to pray and to say, look, let me stand with you. Because sometimes the devil has such a bondage on things that it takes prayer and seeking the face of God to break those bondages as we look to the cross of Calvary and what Jesus did at the cross. Let me tell you, victory came to the Israelites. They did what God told them to do. And when you do what God says, victory is always there. We stood upon his word during this thing, and God encamped around about our stuff. Amen. Yes, it's stuff that we could gain back. Who wants to start over? Not a one of us, huh? No one. We thank our God for what he's given us. Yes, it's not our God. No, those things can be replaced. But we don't want to start over, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. You see, we have to do what God says, standing upon that word, people. Standing upon that word. Standing upon that word. Someone called us during the week and said, pastors, thank you for showing us how to stand upon that word. We know how to pray now. And I thought, wow, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, And I know people come to you and tell you things that, you know, thank you for helping and doing and this and that. But you see, to show somebody how to pray and stand upon that word and to claim that word and to stand upon it, let me tell you, that's something. That's victory. That's victory in their hearts and in their lives. Look, stand upon God's word. Stand upon God's word. Stand upon God's word. Stand upon God's word. No matter what's going on the outside, God will take care of God's people. No matter what's going on out there, God will take care of God's people. Let me tell you, for him to take care of the Israelites as they roamed around the wilderness for 40 years, my Lord, which should have been only a few months time, giving them food, meat, supplying for them, how much more will our God supply for us? People, let's keep looking to him. Don't be down and out. Don't say, look, say thank you, Lord, for your victory. Thank you, Lord, that more victory is coming. Thank you, Lord, that you're providing, you're helping, you're doing, you're moving, Lord, as we put our faith and our trust in our God, in what he can do in the future and what he will do in the future and what he will do today. Praise be unto our God. For he is a great God, people.
Yes,
hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't ever let anybody bring down your God for who he is.
Yes.
He's the God that made everything upon this earth in 6 days. What a God we serve. And literally, that's 24-hour period days, okay? 6 days of making everything. He could have done it in 1 second if he wanted to. But God knows what he's doing. And you see, he takes care of us. Remember the day you gave your heart to the Lord? Remember that day? How did you feel that day? I can tell you how I felt. It's like I felt light. Just light in weight. And what it was, I couldn't express so much. Was that the weight of sin. And I was only 15. I hadn't murdered anybody. You know, I hadn't killed anybody. I hadn't, you know. Some of you say, maybe I did. No. When I say, you know, it wasn't big major thing. Sin is sin, though. It keeps you away from God, though. And so God had, but just the lifting of how I felt. Lord, have mercy. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. How much more does he take care of you today? How much more do you know of his word today? Claiming his word for your life. Praise God. What a God we serve. Praise God. Look, get that word. Consume that word. Get it in your spirit. Let me tell you this. And I'm going to close with this. The enemy, the devil, does not want you to know God's word. It's the truth. He does not want you to know it. And then when you know it, he doesn't want you to believe it. And then when you believe it, he doesn't want you to stand on it. So he doesn't want you to read it. He doesn't want you to believe it. And he doesn't want you to stand on it. My Lord, because he knows that word cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It cuts and destroys and builds up and brings up what God wants. See, that's the spirit of the Lord. God working and moving. Take that time every day, people, to consume that word. Either listen to it, you know, or get your Bible, read it, however you need to do it. But get it in your spirit. Because it is alive. 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 Like we've never seen anything before. The Word of God. Amen. Why don't you stand, please?